Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, as you guys know, Michael's not here, but for some reason, I feel like he's looking over my shoulder. And I can't decide why that is. Jenna, thank you. You did a great job. Where'd you go? There she is. Thank you. I love that our youth takes an active part in leading us in worship. So I love seeing that. Everybody doing okay this morning? Good, because there's more people here than the last time I did this, and I'm scared to death. Well, let's just go ahead and get started. Are there any marathon runners in here? Anybody ever run a marathon? There's one. Libby.
Halves count.
Halves count, yep. Michelle, back there. All right, so a few. Any just runners that maybe don't go that far? Huh? What? Well, sure. Yeah, I guess so. I envy those people because they have something that I do not have. In fact, I do not enjoy running. I've done it a little bit here and there, usually because my wife guilts me into it. But if I'm running very fast, you might turn around because there's usually something chasing me. So, as Christians, any of those here, I hope?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, good. The life we are called to live and following Christ is kind of like running a race. In fact, the Bible refers to it as that many times. There are a lot of points in Scripture where they talk about running the race that's been set before us. And it is not a sprint by any means. It's a marathon. It's a lifelong journey to try and achieve the goal of becoming more like Christ and hopefully pulling a few other people in with us along the way. Now, I think that if we're all honest, we would admit that it's probably not as easy as we had hoped it was going to be. Would you guys agree with that? Sometimes it's a struggle because we are met with temptations and trials and a whole lot of resistance from this world that we live in. And, you know, Jesus himself warned us about that. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, that sounds kind of intimidating to me if you think about what he meant by that, take up his cross. Whenever they crucified somebody, they made them carry the cross beam that they were going to hang him on and down the road in front of everybody to be ridiculed and beat up on. Paul warned Timothy in his letter. He said, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So it's not a matter of if or when, it's a matter of when. So how do we get through this race? Is there anything that we can do to help ourselves to finish strong, to reach the goal of being more like Christ? Well, I think there is, and I think that Paul and Peter both, in their letters that we have, give us some good advice for that. Now, before we start, let me say I'm not talking at all about our actions or our deeds, obtaining our salvation. That's only done through faith in Jesus. I think we all know that. But like I said, I do think there are some steps we can take, some things we can do to help ourselves, for lack of a better word, perform a little bit better as we're trying to reach the goal that God has put before us. Now, the first thing that, a lot of runners or if you're going to compete in anything, really, that you have to do is to, you got to get your mind right. You know, we've got Eli. Is Eli in this service? No, Eli's not here. Eli is the, if you don't know, the runner-up in the state for the mile. He was second place in the whole state of Illinois for the mile. And he works very hard at it. But I think he'll probably be one of the first to tell you that you have to have the right mindset going into that so that you can be successful. And I think it's the same in our Christian walk. We have got to realize and understand that Jesus himself has laid out the course that we're going to run, and that you have what it takes inside of you to finish it. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. There it is. Thank you, Chaz. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The race that is set before us, Jesus, the author and finisher, the same Jesus that designed the universe, created it, and holds it all together, created this whole world that we live in, has got your race planned out. Amen. He set it before us. He has a plan. I believe that you are where you are in this time for a reason. To bring praise and glory to him, and for whatever purpose he has deemed for your life. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I mean, we already talked about that. But I kind of, the more I thought about this, I kind of looked at it as a roller coaster. I don't like roller coasters. I'm convinced that the whole thing is going to collapse underneath me, or that I'm just going to go flying off the edge the first turn it takes. But if Jesus designed and built the roller coaster, I'd have a whole lot more faith in that I was going to reach the end of it. Does that make sense to anybody? All right. Now, 1 Peter 1:1. To God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Before I started working on this, anytime I would read that verse, I saw exiles scattered. And that brought, in my mind, chased away. Like you didn't want to be chased away. You were somewhere where you didn't want to be. I kind of read that in a different biblical version. And it said scattered, but then in parentheses it said sowed. And it made me think of walking around. How do you spread grass seed? I grab a handful of it and you just scatter it out, right? I think that's what Jesus does with us. So bloom where you're planted. Like I said before, he's put you where he wants you to be for the purpose that he has for your life. Now, the other thing you've got to understand before you start partake in any race or competition is that, or what you've got to believe anyway, is that you have what it takes to be successful. Does anybody know, well, you probably all know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. Even the young guys, you still know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? Okay. Before he was a big movie star, he was a pretty successful bodybuilder. It's like Mr. Universe, like three different times, I think. When I was in college, my roommate and I kind of had an ongoing argument, I guess. My side of it was that I said if we worked long enough and hard enough and did all the right things and really dedicated ourselves to it, that we could look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, no, not even close. I might look like he looks now, but you know, my roommate, who's, I have to admit, a little smarter than me, would look at me, look up and down, and just laugh. And he'd say, "Sax, you're crazy." He knew that all the hard work and dedication in the world, as far as bodybuilding is concerned, is limited by, to a degree, by our genetics, right? Some of us just aren't made to do those things or look that way. I'm never going to run 20, how far is a marathon? 26.2 miles, yeah. It's just not going to happen. However, in your spiritual walk as a Christian, let's go to the next slide, please. Later on in his letter, Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." In other words, it's in your DNA to be used by Christ to achieve his purpose. You have what it takes inside of you to do that. As long as we keep that in mind and realize that, hey, you know what? Jesus is the one that's designed this race course, so it can't be all that bad. I think that's going to help us be successful. Now, the next thing that I think you have to do, besides getting your mind right, is to get your body right. And I'm sure many of you have probably noticed Eli at various... You're driving through town, there goes Eli. He's running down the sidewalk. But he does a whole lot more than just run to train for his races. He does some strength training. He changes his diet. And he makes sure he gets a whole lot more sleep than a normal teenage kid probably would. 1 Peter 1:13, a couple of the other verses in Peter that I want, I think, address this. First one, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Skip down to chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And what those verses are saying to me is, prepare yourself. Get anything that is hindering you from listening to God or obeying God out of the way. It might not even be anything that's sin, per se. It's just something in your life that is keeping you from having the right kind, the kind of relationship with Christ that he wants you to have. Now, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, mine, I'm embarrassed to admit this, most of the time it's the dang television set. And it's the reason that I was still working on this sermon last night. I've gotten in a bad habit of, that's the last thing I do of the day, is plop down in my chair and vegetate in front of that television. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, except that that's time that I could spend reading my Bible, praying, you know, looking through my elder care list and saying, okay, who haven't I talked to lately? And just give them a call and say, how are you doing? Maybe it's the internet. You know, these days we spend a lot of time surfing the internet. Maybe it's your phone. I have one like this, and it's pretty outdated, and part of the reason that I still have this is so I can't sit there and surf the internet on it. The other reason I tell people when they make fun of me is I can do that, and with my phone, you guys can't do that. But now, it's not just avoiding the bad things in life either. You got to put in some good stuff as well. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, I mentioned that, you know, in and of itself, watching TV is probably not sinful, but you know what? It depends on what you're watching. Because what we expose ourselves to, what we allow into our lives, has an effect on us. And it has an effect on our relationship with Christ. You know, just like I talked about Eli changing his diet. I mean, there's certain bad things he doesn't eat. When most of his friends are, you know, out staying out late and having a good time, he may stay home and go to bed early. And so it's, but he's got to put in some good things too. And it's not just eliminating the sugar and that type of thing. He's careful about what he consumes. And it's the same with us in our Christian walk, because it does have an effect on us. Prayer is important. The verse says, meditate on these things. I think that's part of listening to God. And that's something that I struggle with. I'm quick to talk. But taking time to listen and to meditate on the Word and what God's trying to tell you is just as important. If, you know, you decide that you're going to join these crazy people that run 26 miles, besides getting your mind and your body right, I mean, the other thing that you're going to have to do is put some work into it. It's going to take some effort. And, you know, another important part of training for any kind of race is to try to push yourself harder and further than you've gone in the past. You know, you want to try to challenge your body. And going through that hardship of going beyond your limits or your abilities is going to make you a lot stronger. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Libby, the first time you ran that marathon, have you done it more than once? Oh, just done it once? Well, if you were going to do it again, you'd feel a whole lot more confident about it, wouldn't you? You say, hey, I made this through once before. I can do this again. You know, Michael has talked about stepping out of our comfort zone and how God may call you into a place where you're not comfortable or even strong enough to handle without his help. We need to be striving for more and looking for the next opportunity that God has for us to be in service to him. Challenge yourself in service to God. And I think that, you know, hey, volunteer for something you've never done before or you don't think you can do. That's going to make you uncomfortable. I mean, that's a guaranteed. But that discomfort leads to change. That change is going to make you stronger and more able to do it the next time. A perfect example of that, I think, we had a couple of weeks ago when Kendra got up here and sang. And just like Michael said at the time, a few months before that, you wouldn't have got her up in front of a crowd in Sunday school, let alone up here to sing in front of the congregation. But she put herself out there to praise God. Now finally, some of you may think that this has been a marathon, but finally, and I'm realizing it's a whole lot shorter than I thought it was going to be, so that's all right. Chaz can beat the Methodist to the Chinese buffet, right? The best runners, the best athletes are the ones that they love it. I mean, you can just see it on their face. They enjoy competing or just getting out in the fresh air and getting their heart rate up. Whatever it is, it brings them happiness, and you can tell by the look on their face. My wife is one of those people. When she gets to get up and do her workout or go for a run, it makes my life a lot easier. Yeah, it's their thing. And each of us has a thing a talent that we've been given by God to use for His glory. Romans 12:4-8. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And I like that part because I think we've got a fantastic church family here. And as we continue to grow, we are individually members of one another. Hopefully we're, members of each other's lives and that we're rejoicing with one another and mourning with one another, no matter what comes along. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, teaching, exhorts, exhortation, give with liberality. He who leads with diligence, mercy with cheerfulness. Find your niche. Whatever your gift is, figure out what it is and use it to the best of your ability to bring praise and glory to God. We have some wonderful examples of people in this church that are doing just that on a regular basis. And I hope I don't embarrass them, but I'm going to name a few of them. Have any of you really watched Rodney play the drums? Especially when we were over there and he was in the shark cage and he could really cut loose. I mean it. He enjoys what he is doing and he is praising God with that talent that he has been given. Kayla, when she leads the singing, I mean, she is joyous when she does that. You can tell. And it's something, a talent that God has given her, and she is using it. And Matt Seelock, when he works with the youth, Matt does a fantastic job with those kids. And you can tell he loves them. And he is working hard to just try to show them a little bit of the love that God the Father has shown him. So, I'm going to wrap this up here. And so, the praise team, you guys can kind of start making your way up here. I want to throw Hebrews 12:1-3 up there again. But this is from a different version. This is called The Message. And if you've never read The Message version of the Bible, I encourage you to kind of check it out alongside some of the more traditional versions sometimes. Sometimes it'll give you a whole new aspect of what it's trying to say. And I think this kind of sums up what I'm trying to say this morning pretty well. It's a little bit long, so bear with me. But he says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down and start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through. And this is my favorite part. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Sometimes when you're running and you get tired, that's what you need, is a shot of adrenaline. And like I said, this Christian life can be a challenge. But the course has been laid out for us by Jesus. And he gives us the strength and ability to cast away all the things that are weighing us down and hindering us. And he's waiting for us there at the end of the finish line.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.